First of all, Luke chapter 23. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the trees, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when a tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." And then, just a few verses in Galatians chapter 6, page 1172. Verse 12. "Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh." Verse 14 is important. "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." This is the word of God. I suppose this morning is the gospel, and that's the verse we're starting on with. "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I'm going to talk about boasting this morning. Any ideas of what boasting is? What does the word boasting mean? Okay? Any ideas? Yeah. Showing off. Any other ideas about boasting? What do we boast about? Okay, could be a slow morning. I'll do my own participation. What do we boast about? Yeah? Football teams, exactly. Like Rangers, that's a great team to boast about. And other teams are. Eh? Celtic is a. Absolutely. That's what boasting is. You say something is not great, and you say it's great, like Celtic, it's not all that great, but you boast about it. And you say it's absolutely fantastic. And you see, boasting, a lot of us, we love to boast. It's just kind of the way we're built. It's the way we're wired, because we're obsessed with ourselves, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. And without knowing it sometimes, we get into a mindset of just boasting all the time. Now, in the passage here in the Bible, it's Galatians 6:13. Galatia was a church, and there were people in the church, and they were boasting. They were boasting about how good they were. They were boasting about how religious they were. They were boasting how they kept the law better than anyone else. And again, it's natural to do that. Because when we do a good thing, we feel kind of good about that. Now, you often think that you're good until you see someone better. Last week in Wales, last Thursday night. I think I'm tall. I don't know if anybody else thinks I'm tall. I'm 5'11 and a half, or one of these 5'11 and a half guys that thinks I'm 6 foot, but I think I'm tall. And last Thursday in Wales, this guy came to read the Bible, Derek from Lewisham in England, black guy, great guy, 6'8". It's the second time I've met Derek, and every time I meet him, I say the same thing: what's the weather like up there? Because like, you think you're tall, and then you meet a guy who's like 6'8". I don't know if any of you have met John Ferguson, the APC minister. He's tall. He is a seriously tall guy. I think he's not quite Derek. He's 6'7". But every time I meet these guys, I am so incredibly small. In fact, there's a picture on Facebook of Annalise Smith, Ethan Smith's daughter's baptism. And like, they are a tall family. Like, Ethan's dad is, 9 foot or something. Ethan's brother is really, really tall, and Ethan's tall. And I'm there, and I'm like a little midget. You see, you think you're great. We boast in things, but then we see something even better. All these folk in Galatia boasted about the law. But the thing was that at the end of the day, none of them even started to keep the law. There was only one person who was perfect, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the verse says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm going to look at four things that the cross is. Four things that the cross is. Next one? Okay. Now, does anybody know what country this flag is? Scotland, exactly. Does anybody know the name of that flag? I think of two names. Yeah? St. Andrew's Cross is one. What's the second name it's often known as? The Saltire. Good man. St. Andrew's Cross or the Saltire. Can you go back one slide? It should go forward one slide. Okay, stop. They got a wee bit out of order, but we're back in order. Does anybody know the story of the Scottish flag? Anybody know the story? Well, the story is set in the days of the Dark Ages. There was this guy called King Angus. I'm not making the guy's name up. King Angus, right? And he was the boss of two groups called the Scots and the Picts, right? And they were fighting another lot called the Angles. Now, to cut a long story short, this is really, really simplifying medieval history, but it was kind of like Scotland versus England. It wasn't quite as simple as that, but it was kind of that. So they met in Northumbria, which is a county just in the north of England, and there was King Angus. And the other guy, the English guy, was called King Athelstane, right? And what they did was, in those days, when you had a battle, you kind of put it in your diary, and you arranged to meet. And you would meet in a big field, and one lot would go on one side of the field, and the other lot would go on the other side of the field, and they would have a fight. Now, King Angus prayed that they would win the battle. And when he woke up, he looked into the sky, and that's what he saw. He saw two clouds crossing like that. Now, he knew that there was a saint called Saint Andrew. And St. Andrew died on a cross, not on this kind of cross that we imagine that Jesus died on, but on that sort of cross. And to cut a long story short, he took that as a sign that they were going to win. And so the battle began, and of course, King Angus won the battle. And so when we think of a cross means victory. It's the first thing about the cross. The cross shows victory. And what we learn from that is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is the strongest. The Lord Jesus Christ is the winner. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is always on the winning side. Now, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, although this is a pretty simple, some would even say simplistic sermon, and yet isn't that absolutely true that we have this idea that the things of the world will win, that money, celebrity, that's what we want to be. We want to be rich, we want to be pretty, we want to be all these things. But when I look at the cross, I think of a St. Andrew's cross, I think of victory, and I think that Jesus Christ is the winner. God rules all things. So when I think of a cross, I think, yes, the cross shows victory. Now, I don't know if you can see that, but it's a letter. And it's a letter from a granny to, I think it's a boy or a girl whose initials are EM. And it says, "Have a great time today. Missing you loads. Remember, safety first. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Circle, circle, circle. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Mama." When I think of a cross, I always think of love. Boys, do you write love letters? I didn't think I'd get much participation there. I don't know if people... Oh, one does. Good man. Good man. I don't know if anybody writes love letters anymore. You probably text in three lines some misspelt little message to your nearest and dearest, or Facebook them. But when you want to show love, if you write a letter, at the bottom of the letter, you put cross, 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 cross. And so cross shows love. I'm thinking of another X just now, and it's like God's X-ray. And if God's X-ray machine was shown in our lives, if God saw inside our heart, he would see that our heart was not full of goodness, but our heart was full of sin, sort of yucky things, things that really, really hurt God, things which are really not nice. Boys and girls, we are not very nice inside. The Bible says all of us have sinned. All of us have sinned. So it's difficult to love something that's not nice. I was visiting a house in another city a few months ago, and it was an old couple, and they had a dog. And the dog was so, so smelly, like seriously smelly. And it was old, it was about 14, and it had arthritis. So one of the four legs wasn't working, and its breath was so bad. Like you could have lit in a match and, you know, it would have ignited. Its teeth were brown, and it would come up to you, and it would slobber, and the stuff would drip on your trousers. Now, when you're a minister, you've got to do things. Like, and so I'm patting the head of this dog. I found the dog difficult to love. The old couple loved the dog, and for their sake, I loved the dog. But it's difficult to love something that's unlovable. It's difficult to love a smelly, arthritic dog with bad breath that's drooling all over you. I mean, it really is. I appeal to the most saintly of you in this room. It's difficult. But, you know, our hearts are that to God. You know, we disobey God, we rebel against God, we do all sorts of things. And yet the cross means love. The Bible says that even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the amazing thing, that he loves bad people. And indeed, the wonderful thing about the gospel is, and this is the thing that I still cannot understand, that God doesn't love good people. That's the thing that really blows me away, that folk who think they're good and moral and really are God's big catch, God doesn't love them. But he loves sinners. So when I think of a cross, I think of victory. When I think of a cross, I think of love. God loves us on our good days and also on our bad days. But a cross speaks of something else. When we see a cross, it's kind of, I always think of sadness when I see a cross, because a cross speaks of punishment. When Jesus was living, the guys who kind of ruled the country were called the Romans. And it was the Romans that thought up a way of killing people. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die alone. As you can see up there, there were three crosses. Jesus was in the middle one. And in each side, there was like a terrorist, like an Al-Qaeda terrorist, sort of Osama bin Laden person, people who really were not very, very good. And so you had these horrible people, and in the middle was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was absolutely perfect. Folk, you know, you can look at the church, and I don't blame many folk, maybe who've come here for the first time, maybe folk who've not been to church for a long time, are saying, well, the reason I don't go to church is the church is full of hypocrites. Now, can I say right away, I understand that. Folks say that the church is responsible for wars and arguments, and you read the newspapers, and churches kind of fall out with one another, and there's splits, and there's all sorts of things. That may be true. You can criticize the church. You can criticize me. And that is really, really easy to do because I am very, very, very imperfect. But no one can criticize Jesus. So what was he doing on a cross? What was a perfect person doing on a cross? I'll show you. I need two volunteers. I need two volunteers. Any ideas? Two volunteers? Help me. One up. Okay. Now, one on either side. Can you hold this? Oh, you hold one side and you hold it and turn around, face the people. Can you go behind it? Excellent. Right. I need some more volunteers. Excellent. Okay. I want you to take this. And I want you to stick that on the cross. Okay, go up and stick it on so the people can see it. Up the top. You see, all these are sins that we commit. For example, there's telling lies. I wonder if there's any other. I'm sure there's no connection between the particular sin and the child. What one have you got? Okay. You go and stick that one up. It's another sin. What one's that?
Cheating.
Cheating, is it? No, what does it say?
Cruelty.
Cruelty. Excellent. You stick that one up. Maybe. Excellent. Turn it around a little bit and show the folk the side as well. Just sort of move about. Yeah. Okay, one more. What we've got here. Ooh, it's a good one. Right. What one's that? What is it?
Stealing.
Stealing. Excellent. Right, what we got here. Oh, yeah. You got to stick that one on. Oops. Right. Right, and this one's not a sin, but it's something you can put on. Okay. Excellent. Okay. Excellent. Thank you. You can go and sit down. I'll show the folk that. Folk, this is exactly what happened at the cross. Jesus died on a cross, and these are the sort of things that we did. These are the sort of sins that we committed. Every single one of us. Telling lies? Have you ever told a lie in your life? Is there someone in this room who has never in their life told a lie? Who has never exaggerated? Who has never in their life told a lie? If you are saying to yourself, actually, I've never told a lie, you probably have got major spiritual problems. Cruelty, you ever been cruel? Cheating, not trusting God. Can you help me, young man? Stealing, well, I'm sure some folk have maybe, never stolen. But we've got all these sins, okay? Now, what happened on the cross was it's quite amazing. We ask ourselves a question, because even one of those sins would keep us from heaven. Even one of them. But on the cross, what happened was that Jesus came. And it was like Jesus came onto the cross and he covered all these sins. So when God looks at the cross, when God looks at the sinner who's become a Christian, he does not see the sin. But all he sees is Jesus. Jesus died to save us from our sins. Folks, that's the gospel. And every single person here has committed a sin. Every single one of us who have committed that sin, we're not going to get into heaven. There's going to be no access to heaven unless our trust is in Jesus. The cross is about victory. The cross is about love. But there's another thing the cross shows. Punishment, there's another thing the cross shows. Now, a few months ago, there was an election, and we voted for a new government, right? The fact that the cross is against Labour, by the way, is absolutely nothing to do with me and shows no political affiliations whatsoever, one way or the other. But your mum and dads, your brothers and sisters, maybe voted for who would be the new government. And they went to a place called the polling station, and they would have got a thing like that, and they would have had to put a cross against the party that they wanted to be the government, and who was going to be the prime minister. Now, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, there is a choice to be made. And, you know, boys and girls, you came to Spy Kids this week. You heard about the great mystery of godliness, how Jesus appeared in a body, how he was affirmed, how he was preached to all the world. What kind of week was it? Was that a week when you just learned some things? Was that a week when we just had some fun? Or was it a week that changed our lives? Last week in Wales, a little girl who was 11 came to me after the service and said, "Tonight, I have become a Christian." 11-year-old girl, her life is changed. I wonder, will we make a decision? I wonder, what about us? Older people, especially those who have not yet committed their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. okay, this is a simple service this morning. It is an incredibly simple message. But the message is very, very simple. There really is very little complexity about the gospel. Jesus Christ died on a cross. Instead of us being punished, he was punished. We, if we trust in him, if we say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, we will become a Christian. It really is very, very simple. Boys and girls, you came to the spy clubs, we'd love it if you carried on, came to Sunday school, speak to the spy kids leaders, say, look, I'd love to come to Sunday school. We'll come and pick you up if you want, bring your mums and dads. Older folk, we'll be starting a Christianity Explored next few weeks. Come along, ask questions about the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, we aren't going to make a decision. We really are going to make a decision. Last week I was looking at something to buy this particular thing, and I've not been back to the people, I've not said one way or the other, but my decision is I'm not going to buy it. We're all going to make a decision today. Even if you don't speak, even if you don't do anything, if you walk out of your life not trusting in Jesus, you've put your cross beside rejection. Now, you can do that, but think of the implications. I wonder today, will you make your decision? Will God enable you to put the cross in the right way? The cross means choose. There's a verse in the Bible that says, choose you this day whom you will serve. This morning, folks, that's the gospel. That's the good news. That is the great news that Jesus Christ has been saved. I don't know if any of you saw Casualty last night. I kind of love Casualty. And the main doctor guy, he's got a brain tumor, right? And he had a nosebleed, and he thought, it's back. And he was really, really worried. He went for an MRI scan, and he got this MRI scan, and half an hour later, he gets the result. It's clear. His cancer is clear. And he's a kind of miserable, it reminds me a bit of myself, kind of miserable kind of character. But he gets this good news, and he is really, really happy. Good news, his life is saved. How much more? You know, you can lose your money. You can lose your health. You can lose many things. But if you're a Christian, you can never lose Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your kindness and your love and your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for this church this morning, for this simple gospel service. Help us to trust you. Help us to know you. Amen.